Well, we've been asking you to send us in some of your favourite inspirational quotes this morning. Here's a few more. My quote is, "Our greatest glory lies in never falling, but in rising every time we fall," from Confucius. And that is sent in by Sarah O'Connor. A quote from Oscar Wilde, "My needs are simple. It's my wants that are expensive." And she says, "I don't need a night in the Shelburne Hotel, but I want it." And that's from Mary Doyle in Carlow. Good try, Mary. Well done indeed. Well, the new Microsoft chief executive, Satya Nadella, obviously believes in these quotes, as we were saying earlier. Well, with me now in studio is another big believer in quotes, business coach and writer Shane Craddock.
Hi,
and also, hi, and also a quote skeptic, Siobhan O'Connell from Business Plus magazine. Siobhan, inspiration quotes, you are not a fan.
No, well, I think there's a time and a place for quotes, and I have no issues with if you're sitting at home in the privacy of your own living room and you're reading a nice piece in a magazine or in a book and you come across a, you know, quote that you like. That's fine. I just don't think you necessarily have to inflict that on your staff in a business environment.
So if you were sitting in Microsoft this week and you see this new message from Nadia, or the new whatever his name is, new chief executive there, well, Satya Nadella, you'd be thinking,
well, I'd actually wanted to email him back and go, excuse me, I'm the little underling down on the sixth floor beneath you. And what did you mean when you said we need to believe in the impossible and remove the improbable? And I think actually that is one of the problems with quotes when they're used in speeches, that they don't always speak in plain English or translate into plain English the vision and the, you know, the what the chief executive wants to do. And that's what people, that's what the employees
but
want
Siobhan,
to hear.
That
and it's slightly
mean,
patronising as well, I think, to
that
employees.
That might just mean that they'd never have employed you anyway because you didn't get the quote.
Well, yeah, I suppose, I mean, in fairness to Satya Nadella.
What does he mean anyway?
I mean, what Satya Nadella is probably trying to do is help techies get a handle on poetry. You know, okay, that's a very nice, you know, poetry is a wonderful thing. But I think perhaps his biggest challenge is, and I'm not going to use that word going forward, which I almost did, is not teaching his staff necessarily about the wonders of poetry, but he has to come up with a new strategy, you know, while still remaining embedded in Microsoft's old power structure. And if Microsoft loses its grip under a second CEO, it will, to paraphrase Oscar Wilde again, look like carelessness. So I think that perhaps there are more pressing issues on his mind than imparting poetry to
Shane,
his staff.
Defend him. I mean, you're a big fan of quotes. Of course, you've written a book and everything about them.
A big
so
fan
you
of
think
quotes,
they have a
yeah.
great place.
Oh, no, I think they've got an essential place, but I think it is all to do with context, right? But if I'm reading, I read his email, his full email, and to me it's more about, you know, he used one quote. So I, from my point of view, look, that guy's got a tough job to do anyway. He's coming in after Steve Ballmer. It's going to be a tough ask. But to me, the quote is just like a little decoration on the cake that is Microsoft there. It's just a little decoration. But the cake has to be eaten first. So he's got to prove a lot. But in this context, the only problem I'd have with it is he actually didn't use the right quote. He changed the quote. Mm. And then the first question I'd be asking myself is, why did he change the quote? Because that would send a little signal to me. Now, I think if I was in the organisation, I would be saying, you know, because the original quote there is, man can believe the impossible, but can man can never believe the improbable. That was the original quote. He changed it to, we need to believe in the impossible and remove the improbable. So he changed it. So then the first question is, if I was working there, is why did he change that? Now, when I read the quote myself, George, I kind of had to think about, what does actually remove the improbable mean? Because it's a little bit kind of contrary. It's just kind of contradictory. So to me, it meant it's a signal that I'm going to be cutting things. I'm going to be changing things. We're going to drop things, which is kind of the message that Microsoft needs to give.
But I think also, I mean, the role of a CEO is to be able to inspire his employees, obviously, and
Absolutely.
Show leadership. But I think it's far more authentic if the CEO can use his own words to do that, as opposed to having to rely on the words of others. And, you know, if you could argue that if a CEO has to rely on the words of others to inspire his staff, it shows a certain lack of imagination on part of the CEO in the first place.
No, not at all. Not at all. Absolutely not. No, because like, he's written an email, he's used 2,000 of his own words, and he's used 10 words there to do with somebody else. But he's only used one quote.
Why does he have to do it in the first place?
Because I think a quote actually, it'll generate debate like this. Imagine what's happening in the organisation. But also, a quote actually makes it sticky. So because you're hardly going to remember 1,000 words of an email, but you might just remember that quote and you go, do you know what? What did he mean by that?
Well, exactly. Now you're confused.
No, I don't think so. No. But sorry, on a separate note, though, I would say that I don't think that's a great quote to use.
Okay,
in
so
this
you agree
context.
With me on that then.
On that one, yeah.
Okay.
I think he could have picked much better Oscar Wilde quotes or even a vision quote like, say, Nelson Mandela, which I can give you a few. But yeah. I think, like, in the context of actually, is a quote worthy of if you're making a speech or a presentation to people? Absolutely, because it can actually be very sticky from a memory point of view and really make an impact or make you just think. But that one, I don't know, I'd be 50-50 on the actual impact of it, but I still think there's value in using quotes.
Well, now, I know that some people lately, at least there seems to be a trend of people putting quotes at the end of emails.
Oh, you just opened the can of worms there now, George.
Because
you don't like them, Siobhan, no?
I look at them, and to be fair, I don't see many of them, and I get hundreds of emails
they mean
every day.
Well.
They do mean well, but again, you ask the question, why? Why, when at your signature, do you have to have a Socrates quote at the end of it or an Aristotle? I mean, leave Aristotle and Socrates out of it as far. Now, but why are they doing it? The bigger question is, I think it's a branding thing. I think by using a quote from Socrates or from Aristotle or from Donald Trump or whoever, perhaps they're trying to say, well, you know, a person who reads, you know, this is what I believe in, this is what I stand for, this says something about me, this says something about my company. Whereas in my opinion, what actually says something about you and your company is what you actually write in the body of the email to the person you're writing to in the first place, and not necessarily the quote that you've stolen from someone that you've stuck at the bottom of your signature.
In the words of Del Boy from Only Fools and Horses, George, au contraire, Rodney. Seriously, what? Just can't agree with that. And by the way, I am guilty as charged. I actually have a little quote at the end of my email. But just for the record...
What is it?
No, I'll tell you in a second now. I'll tell you, for the record, I started this trend. I started doing this about 10 years ago before anybody else was doing it, all right?
So just now you have to change.
Now I'll stop doing it, right, because I'll cause another change. All right, will you read you my quote?
Go on. Yeah.
So it's a Nelson Mandela one. Now, my job is as a business coach and a writer. So my core job is actually to provide inspiration, actually, right? So the end of my email, which Siobhan was lagging me about earlier on, is action without vision is only passing time. Vision without action is merely daydreaming. But vision with action can change the world. Nelson Mandela. Now, that to me is my all-time favourite quote. So I put that out there. And you know what? I suppose 1 in 1,000 people will come back and go, would you ever take that email off? It really, really is annoying. Right? But actually a lot of people come back and go, never heard that quote. That actually is quite interesting. I'm going to use that or I'm going to write it down somewhere. And they got something from it. So...
What about Siobhan? Obviously, for you, it depends.
God, I'd never do well in America. I'm far too practical.
Well, obviously, you don't like people misusing quotes, and you certainly don't want a boss to come along and give you some quote because you think it's baloney. But you must have some favourite quotes.
Oh, I do. I do. There's one that there is a Socrates quote that I do like, and it is, "The only true wisdom is knowing you know nothing." I like that.
Yeah, I like that too, actually.
There's
another
Beckett quote, which I like a lot, and that is, ever tried, ever failed, no matter, try again, fail again, fail better.
That's pretty long, all right. Yeah. Fail better, fail fast, and fail better. Well, I think we're going to have to, quote, leave it there at the moment. But just, I know, Shane, you have a play coming up. Is it next Friday night in the Civic Theatre in Tala?
Thanks, George.
And it's called The Waiting Room.
It's a comedy, and it's an inspirational comedy with no, it's only my own writing, my own quotes, but actually the cast are out and rehearsing at the moment in Tala listening to this. Next Thursday, Friday and Saturday in the Civic.
Okay,
it'll be a good night out and plenty of inspiration as well.
Plenty of inspiration. Okay, indeed, lots of quotes in that. Well, that is all we have time for this week, and we just have enough time to announce the winner of our inspirational quote competition for the overnight stay and a dinner for two in the sumptuous Shelbourne Hotel that's on Stephen's Green around the corner from Merrion Square. And the winner says this. He says, the quote is, "I have no special talents. I am only passionately curious, Albert Einstein." And it says, "I'm a second level business teacher in Salerno in Galway. I always pass on this quote and try to encourage the girls to approach learning with curiosity rather than as a chore. I see curiosity as the primary source of innovation and progress." And that's Anne-Marie Brown. Well done and congratulations to you, Anne-Marie. And I hope you enjoy your trip to Dublin and go down and see that Oscar Wilde statue indeed around the corner. You can listen back to the programme anytime by going to our webpage, which is rte.ie/thebusiness, or the radio player for RTE, which is on rte.ie/radio. We're going to be back again at the same time next week. Until then, thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
The Business on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Electric Ireland, providing excellent customer service for our growing SME sector.
And The Business, presented by George Lee, is an Old Yard production for RTE Radio 1.